The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We have a great show for you today. It is a glorious day here in June. I just love this Michigan weather. This is my kind of weather. Not too hot, not too cold. A little bit of rain doesn't hurt. But it's going to be a beautiful sunny day today. But you didn't tune in to listen to the weathercast. What did you listen to? Well, in this half hour of the show, we're going to be featuring the new director of the Cohen Haddow Center. Howard Lubavitch is going to be talking about a very exciting program which is coming to Detroit, the Helm Puppet Theater show, which is coming up, as I say, on the 23rd. We have lots of wonderful music coming throughout the half hour, through the hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Chukas. It is found in chapter 19 of the book of Deuteronomy. We have as a closing story a little bit, some insights into the late Senator Frank Lautenberg, some things that are very impressive. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Doctors at Safat's Ziv Medical Center discovered an unexploded grenade in the pocket of a Syrian rebel who had been brought in with a gunshot wound to the chest. The emergency room was briefly evacuated and sappers were called in to remove the explosive. 10 rebels were treated in Israeli hospitals this week and returned to Syria. Austria pulled its soldiers from Golan peacekeeping duties after two of its soldiers were injured in a mortar attack. The pullout leaves only Indian and Filipino soldiers to patrol the area. Police in Sydney charged four people with the 1982 bombing of the Israeli consul in that city. Steve, you remember the Israeli consul getting blown up in 1982 in Sydney? I don't remember. I just don't remember that one. It's not even tickling my head. But they remember it in Sydney. The December 22 attack left two people injured. The cold case was reopened last year after new evidence was surfaced. And they have, after 1982, you're talking 30 years later, they have captured the perpetrators. Three female IDF soldiers serving in Hadera reported that two Arab men tried to abduct them. Let's do the math over here. Three soldiers, two terrorists, and they tried to abduct them. Yeah, I don't know. Don't mess with an Israeli soldier, even if it happens to be a female. PA terrorists have been trying for months to kidnap an IDF soldier to use as bargaining chip for the release of Palestinians in Israeli jails, much as they were successful when they captured Gilad Shalit. But since then, Israeli soldiers have had this like wonderful training how to avoid getting kidnapped. A demonstration in Ramla protested continued Arab attacks was interrupted by an Arab attack. Ramla has become a hotbed of unrest between Israeli and Arab residents. Here's some good news. The Beit Shemesh region will be expanding in the coming months. Approval was given by Israel's transportation ministry to expand the one road that leads from Jerusalem to Beit Shemesh from a two-lane road to a four-lane highway. They have a very interesting thing in their urban development, their planning in Israel. You cannot build in an area unless there is adequate infrastructure to get people in and out of that area. So they figure that with a two-lane road, they can handle so many and so many people. With the added two lanes, one going in each way, they are going to be building 20,000 new housing units, which can be accommodated by the new lane. I find that fascinating. Maybe I should have gone into civil engineering. Maybe not. President Obama extended a waiver of a 1991 law that would move the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem for another 6 months. Every president since the law's passage has waived it, citing national security. I think they're all just a bunch of wusses. But anyway, some disheartening news. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Gurewitz, who was a rabbi in Germany, was attacked in a German shopping center by a group of 6 to 8 young men. I think that means teenagers, as they yelled racial slurs. Gurewitz, listen to this. This guy's being harassed and attacked. And Gurewitz managed to take pictures of his attackers with his cell phone, and these attackers were later arrested. The group is charged with assault and hate crimes. Hold a second. Just stop beating me 1 second while I get your picture. Yeah. Anyway. And they probably stopped and posed. Anyway, armed robbers dressed as Hasidim kidnapped a jeweler in Marseille, France, robbed his store at gunpoint, and left him stranded on a highway outside of the city. That sounds like something right out of a bad movie, but the guy wasn't hurt, Baruch Hashem. Police are looking for leads. An earthquake measuring 4.9 on the Richter scale was felt in a lot last night. The center of the quake was in the Sinai and was felt in Cairo as well. No damage or injury was reported. Israel is hosting the under-21 Euro soccer tournament. This is big. You know, here in America, we go, soccer, what's that? You know, there, the world runs around. This is the European League, and this is the under-21, and this is the final tournament, and it's in Israel, and it's like a major thing, and all the Arab nations are boycotting it. So you know it's got to be good. Anyway, Israel surprised everyone by playing to a draw with tournament favorite Norway. And finally, this is one of those believe it or not stories that we like to end off with. In honor of Israeli President Shimon Peres's 90th birthday, Jacob's Coffee Company has created a mosaic of the president's portrait using 6,000 cups of coffee. The mosaic is on display in Port Tel Aviv. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Fenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Dr. Howard Lubavitch, who is now the chairman of the Cohen Hadow Studies Department at Wayne. Congratulations on your new appointment, first of all, Howard.
Thank you.
And we're talking about a program that the Cohen Hadow is sponsoring at the Berman Center on the 23rd of June. And he's going to tell us about it. This is actually the Helm story, which is being put on by Detroit's own Puppet Theater, which is a wonderful organization. They've been around for, I don't know, a dozen or so years, maybe a little longer. So, first of all, for those people that aren't familiar with the term Helm, Howard, could you tell us this idea of these Helm stories, please?
Well, Helm is the name of a, let's call it a semi-fictional shtetl in Eastern Europe. In some ways, it's a literary creation of a number of different authors. It's supposed to be your typical shtetl, where Jews, they live their lives, but this particular shtetl, they seem to have a tendency, a real penchant for odd and quirky behavior.
Uh-huh. Would you say a shtetl's a village?
Shtetl literally means small town. You know, Stadt in German or Yiddish means town. And so shtetl is the diminutive, so it means small town. It's more than a village. A typical shtetl would be a small town, in literary terms, often it seemed like it was entirely Jewish, but it probably in reality was maybe 40, 50, 60% Jewish, maybe 10,000 people altogether, of which, you know, 5 or 6,000 were Jews.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's so unique about the shtetl of Helm?
Well, the shtetl of Helm was unique Well, in some ways, it was unique. I mean, it's more comic, I'd say, than unique. The stories of the Shtetl of Chelm are really, they're little vignettes capturing some of the, well, some of the typical day-to-day quirky behavior of Jews in the Shtetl. So, you know, I'll give you an example. One of the classic stories. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
One of the typical stories is, you know, there's a dangerous road, you know, leading away from Chelm. There's a road overlooking a cliff, and they keep having accidents on this road. So the Jews in Chelm, instead of building a railway, you know, a guardrail along the road, they build a place at the bottom of the cliff to help the people who fall, which is a very nice and kind thing to do, but they overlook the obvious, more practical solution.
Right.
Or, or in another story, it's known that people in Chelm are worrying too much. So they decide to hire a local person, you know, the local schnorr, the local beggar. They pay him 1 ruble a week to worry for everybody.
That's actually a great idea.
So no one else has to worry. But then someone raises the very interesting question. If we give this guy 1 ruble a week, he has nothing to worry about. So that's the sort of questions.
That is a great polemic.
That is a nice one. And, in some ways, these stories were written. It's a combination of nostalgia by authors who had left the shtetl. And in some ways, it's the authors who had left the shtetl and were critical of it. But it's this combination of a critique and nostalgia. You know, I remember it fondly, but there are things I didn't like. And you know, it's making fun of that sort of rabbinic logic and thinking, you know, looking for the logical solution, which may be logical in certain ways, but not commonsensical. So it's that odd mix of things like that.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything, the one Chelm story, I probably read every Chelm story as a kid, but the one that sticks out in my mind was the problem of what to do is because when it snows and no one has yet walked on it, it looks so nice. But then what would happen is this guy who was referred to as the Beetle, he was the guy who would walk around the city banging on windows to wake everybody up to go to the synagogue in the morning. And he would leave footprints and it would ruin the snow. So what did they decide to do is they're going to get 4 guys to carry the guy through the snow so that his footprints, you know. So when I was a kid and I was going to a conservative Hebrew school and they were presenting these stories as these nice stories about whatever, so it was all very ha, ha, ha. When I became religious, I kind of like took another look at it and said, wait a minute, is there some sort of an animosity going on between, say, the Haskalah movement, the Enlightenment movement, and the traditional Judaism and the rabbinic authorities that's being conveyed in these film stories, Howard Lubavitch?
Maybe. I think there's that's part of it. You could certainly read these stories as a critique, but that's a valid way to see it. But I think there's a bit more going on. I think it's saying something deeper about the worldview of these Jews, and it has to do with, you know, Nachman of Bratslav. He wrote a story. One of his stories is called, I believe, Nor Unatam, the fool and the simple man, and the contrast in this story is basically Nachman of Bratslav's way of saying that just because a man is simple doesn't mean a person is simple doesn't mean they're stupid or a fool.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and we have something similar with the story of Gimple Tom, the Yiddish story that's often translated as Gimple the Fool. He's
right.
Not really a fool. He's actually just a simpleton, but simpleton is something that's very praiseworthy. And I think the Jews of Chelm are being presented not as Nar, but as Tom. These are simple people looking for a solution. And even though it has a comic dimension to it, I don't think we're supposed to see them as idiots. We're supposed to see them as simple people trying to find a practical solution, but it's given a comic twist. So you can see it as a critique. I think that's one way to see it. But like I said, there's a nostalgia to it as well. There's a simplicity to these stories and almost an innocence to these stories. Because remember, the author's writing the stories about the Jews of Chelm that left the small town and were living in the bustle of the big city. Big city was far more complex. Big city is also seen as, well, there's a lot more decadence. There's a lot more good, you know, a lot more extreme behavior. And I think there's a longing for the simplicity of the small town.
Okay, indeed. I guess if you're just tuning in, our guest is Dr. Howard Lubavitch, who is the chairman of the Cohen Haddow Center of Judaic Studies at Wayne State University.
And the director.
The director. I'm sorry.
Of the Cohen Hatzav Center, right. The Cohen
Hatzav Center. Yes, indeed. Is there a chairman, since you're only just a director?
No, it's a center. It's a center that has a director.
A center that has a director doesn't have a chairman. Okay, one of these days.
A department has a chairman, center has a director.
Okay, this is something official. I'll have to get on into this jargon. So, and what kind of organization do you have to run to have a president? A country, I guess.
I think a country or a corporation.
Yes, okay. We'll get all this. Like I say, I always end off the show. I hope I had a chance to educate you a bit, you know, so as part of my action. So now people know. We're all in the know. So so Chelm stories have been around for a couple hundred years, and it's been a while since the term Chelm story came up. Why is it that the Cohen Hatta was presenting this puppet show?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a way to see these familiar stories in a new medium. I think something presented by puppets, as opposed to stories being read or stories even being acted, it's a new way to do it. I mean, among other things, it has puppets, I think, especially its professional puppeteers, they appeal to both children and adults at the same time on different levels. So for children, this show will appeal to the fun, to the delight, you know. And parents who are more familiar with the stories can enjoy that, but can also enjoy the deeper levels of the story as well. So the medium makes it very useful and makes it for a very interesting program for multiple groups of people, multiple generations. But I think it's also, like you say, these stories have been around for a long time, and they really never wear out. Even if you've heard the story multiple times, any particular story, they're still so entertaining. They still put a smile on your face. You know, they warm your heart. They're great stories. I mean, I think great stories, it's like a TV show or a movie that you can see again and again, or a book that you can read again and again, or a story you can hear again and again. These stories are timeless. And they the issues that they raise, the themes, the ordinary peopleness of them resonates with always. That's why these stories never wear out. That's why it's worth having the event.
Indeed. Usually you think Judaic Studies department at a university, you're thinking like classes in classical Hebrew and in Middle Eastern studies and maybe something like a Holocaust studies or something like that. What's this that the Judaic Studies Department at Wayne is putting on shows for the public?
Well, first of all, part of the mission of Cohen Hatzav was not only to have courses on campus and events on campus, but is to be a center of learning and culture, academic learning and culture for the greater Jewish community of Detroit. And so this particular program, this is a program that's sponsored and dedicated specifically to John Haddo, one of the original funders of the program, and this is a program in Jewish culture. So this is a program that's designed not to have so much a speaker, but to have something musical or artistic or dramatic or theatrical, in this case, puppets. And much of what Cohen Hatzav does, has done, and will do, is going to be for the greater public. So, yes, it is an academic center, but it's an academic center with an explicit mission of bringing sophisticated learning and Jewish culture to the greater Jewish community of Detroit.
Okay, so essentially, let's dwell on this a little bit. So then what would you like to see? If this is intelligent-based, it's not just a fun time then, what would you like to see the audience that participates in this A Chelm Story at the Berman Center on June 23rd come away with, Professor Howard Lupus?
Well, I'd like to come away with a couple things. First of all, I'm new at the position, so I'd like the audience to come away being more familiar with what Cohen Hatzav is and that it exists and that it does quality programs. Beyond that, I'd also like the program to the people in the audience to have more familiarity with the story if they don't already have it, and even if they do, maybe a more nuanced understanding and a more reinforced understanding. And finally, I'd like the people to see their, you know, to enjoy it and to tell their friends that Cohen Hatzav does exist, not only for Wayne, but also for the greater Jewish community.
Uh-huh. Would you like to see people, like, say, auditing courses? Is that, like, something in the back of your mind?
Sure. I mean, look, if a program like this, I mean, look, well, besides auditing courses, certainly if this program gets people interested in the next Cohen Hatzav program or another Cohen Hatzav program for next year, and we're in the process of scheduling, you know, another whole array of of programs for the next academic year. If this gets people interested, great. If it gets them interested in coming down to campus and auditing a course, that would be great too. You know, I mean, for example, in this fall, my first semester teaching will be in this fall. I'll be teaching a course which is a survey of Jewish history. You know, mm-hmm. We say Tanakh ad Tomach, what we sometimes call it, you know, from the Bible all the way to the founding of the State of Israel. And that's, you know, look, it's a campus course, so it's officially, that doesn't mean it's for students, but, I'm sure it's possible for others to audit it as well. You know, and for me, once you can, you know, navigate the administrative protocols, procedures, I'm happy to have anyone take the course.
Understood. What do you know about the puppet theater, if you could just fill us in?
This is a group that's been doing various kinds of puppet shows for some time, and they're very good. They're very good at making these puppets, well, on the one hand, seem very real and very, very expressive, but not in a scary, kind of scary kind of way. Not in a scary, creepy puppet kind of way, but in a very warm and Hamish way. So you come away from these puppets, I know this sounds a little odd, but you really feel that they're Jewish puppets. These are puppets with a good Yiddish and a Shama. I mean, that may sound odd to think, even just how they look, but there's a warmth. Uh-huh. There's a Hamish warmth that the puppeteers bring to this show. You got to kind of see it to believe it. But, they're very good at it. And really, they really figured out the way to appeal to a very diverse audience. So if you're older or younger, you know, this would be something great for grandparents to bring their grandchildren or parents to bring their children. But it's also if you have a strong Jewish background or not, if you're completely familiar with the Chum stories or you've never heard them, these puppeteers really have a knack of connecting with the audience. I mean, you really, after a while, you begin to forget that they're puppets. You really feel that they're really acting out this, they're really living the stories for you.
Okay. I know that the puppet theater uses actually many different types of puppets. Are these like hand puppets, like Muppets type puppets? Are they marionettes? Are they shadow puppets? Are they these? I went to a thing where they were using 12-foot high two-dimensional puppets is what these things were.
I've seen multiple kinds. I mean, I'll be honest, what they're going to do specifically in this show, I don't know. But I've seen them use various kinds of puppets. I've seen those 12-foot puppets too. My guess is that since it's going to be in Berman Theater, which is larger, with a larger space, they're going to use larger puppets to accommodate the space. But the important thing is whatever they do, they're really good at it. I mean, this is a real treat, and it's especially a treat because they're going to do the Chelm stories. It's a real unique opportunity to hear these what might be familiar stories, in a new medium.
Okay, terrific. That's going to do it. If you could just give us the details then again, Professor Howard Lupovich.
Yeah, the show will be on Sunday, June 23rd at 2 p.m. At the Berman Theater at the Jewish Community Center in West Bloomfield.
Just one performance?
Just the one performance, yeah.
Okay, and if people want tickets, how do they go about doing that?
They can call the Berman. They can call... I think calling the JCC or calling the Berman is the best way to do it. I think they're handling all the ticket sales.
Right. So I don't know the Berman's phone. I say do it. 661-1900 is the Berman. And their website is theberman.jccdet.org is the website for if you want to order tickets online. And I'm looking forward to actually hoping to get to go to this one. I hope I got it. I have it on my calendar at least, Dr. Lupovich.
It should be very nice.
Yeah. So our guest has been Dr. Howard Lupovich. He's from the director of the Cohen-Hatto Center at Wayne State. And again, it's the Chelm story on the 23rd of June at 2 p.m. at the Berman Center in the JCC of West Bloomfield. Thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to you keeping us apprised of future events at the Cohen-Hatto. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Avram Fried was just in Israel. And like everything else, there's nothing secret, nothing is contained, nothing is hidden. It's sort of like the internet has become like God, all-knowing. Whatever you want, it's on the internet. So this is taken from last week's Avram Fried concert. This is a song called Ale Katan. Let's just listen in.
מאוד זקן וסבע ימים ראיתי כבר רוחות הזאת ורעמים אתה עלה קטן מתנועע בטוח בעצמו הכל יודע קח איתך צידה לדרך את ניסיוני אל תזלזל אולי זה כל מה שיש לי כי יש ימים יפים הכל פורח אוי ויש שעות קשות הכל בורח אני איתך תחזיק חזק עלה קטן שלי ולא תמיד הכל נכון הכל מובן חיים זה לא שיעור חשבון זה גם מבחן עכשיו עלה קטן הכל רגוע אך מרחוק אולי ענן מגיע או כך איתך צידה לדרך את ברכתי חצי הכוס היא מלאה תזכור תמיד וכשהשמש אל הים זוגה אל תדאג מחר היא שוב זוגה תזכור ותתחסן אני איתך
תחזיק חזק, עלה קטן שלי.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have... The Jewish Hour is part of an organization, a big organization, and one of our organizations, which is in the same umbrella, is Shalom Wayne. Shalom Wayne works on campus with the Jewish students and professors and faculty, faculties are professors, but staff, and also residents of Midtown, Downtown, and Woodbridge, that whole area over there, to help bring culture and some Lebedeckite, some real life into the area. Been doing it for about a year and a half and have been met with great success. We have a whole calendar of programs scheduled for the upcoming year. Shalom Wayne is having a raffle. $100,000 is the first prize. And there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth prize as well. Want to get in on it? Tickets are $100 for one, $180 for two, $250 for three. Seven gets you will cost you $500. We can stop it there. There's other levels, but that's all I'm going to say right now. Want to get in on it? Go to rabbifinman.com, make a donation, and in the comments page, put it in as for the raffle. $100 for one, $180 for two. Let's stop at $250 for three. And you'll be in the raffle. If you like to do this via mail, then send whatever funds you're going to be sending to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, and mark it that this is earmarked for the raffle. It has to be $100 minimum. And we'll put you in, and we'll thank you for it, and hope to see you down at Wayne. We got more music coming up. What are we listening to? Is this Shea Rubinstein? Is it Window in Heaven? What's Window in Heaven? You Are My Rock? Oh, Window in Heaven. Yeah. Okay, so this is Shea Rubinstein. And this is a song called Window in Heaven. And let's just listen in.
Early days of younger years, full of children's joys and fears. Whether school or home, always felt alone in a way. What's a child to do? Days and months went rushing by. Bar mitzvah in a suit and tie, and my law still there. Much too deep to share in a way. What's a child to do? But I know you were there the whole time, looking down from a window in heaven, and your touch like the gentlest breeze. Shake my hand, you look down from a window in heaven, and your touch like the whisper of wings saying I will be there for you some in a say, oh my.
son.
You're my son.
What's a child to do? Not here with me now, but I know you were there the whole time through each step. You were guiding me forward and your thought, like a breath of fresh air, saying I'll always love you, my son.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Schulfinman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Got some classic klezmer for you. This is the Freilichs. And the word Freilich means to be happy. And the song that they're playing must be their like theme song because it's called Be Happy.
Thank you.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Just to mention again that Shalom Wayne, the organization that works downtown, midtown on Wayne campus, is having a raffle. $100,000 first prize. There's a second, third, fourth, and fifth prize. Want to get in on it? Go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page. Pay $100 or $180 or $250 or $500 or $1,000 or $1,800, and you'll get that many number of raffle tickets. You'll get 1, 2, 3, 7, 10, or 30, I think is the way it's broken up. And for your chance to win $100,000, do it today. Don't like using internet for donations? Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And mark there that it's earmarked for the raffle. It has to be in one of those denominations of 100, 180, 250, 500, 1,000, or 1,800. And we will put in those raffle tickets for you. This week is the portion of Chukas, which is found in chapter 19. Of the book of Numbers. And it starts out slow as far as like Bible stuff goes. It's the laws of ritual and purification of a person who's come in contact with a dead body. And from there, it just like takes off. We have the death of Miriam. We have the death of Aaron. We have the story of Moses hitting the rock, which eventually led to his death. And this all sort of somehow ties in, quite not coincidentally, with this coming Tuesday, which marks the anniversary of the passing. It'll be 19 years, of the passing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, of blessed memory. And the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe in Tanya, asks the question as to the juxtaposition of the purification process at the beginning of the portion with the death of these righteous people. And he makes an interesting comment. It says, what was the red cow supposed to do? The laws of the red heifer was supposed to atone and clean up for coming in contact with a dead body, for death. It's described as, we don't really understand it. King Solomon, who was called the wisest of all men, said, I haven't got a clue what this is talking about. I don't understand how this works, why it works, what's going on over here. Person comes in contact with a dead body, he can't go into the temple. He gets his ashes and water stuff sprinkled on him twice in a 1 week period, and he goes to the mikveh, immerses himself, and then he's allowed to go in. But the guy who did the sprinkling, he's not allowed to go in. He's got to wait a week. He has to go to McFenn, and he gets to go too. So he says the whole thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But the red calf, per se, was used as an atonement for the golden calf. When Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, he brought death into the world. With the giving of the Torah on Sinai, death was removed from the world. And in fact, for the 40 days that Moses was on the mountain, no one in the entire world died. We don't have any record of this written down, because when you look at the newspaper, does it say how many people didn't die today? No. So we have no record of it. But for those 40 days, nobody in the entire world died, because the whole concept of death had been rectified. With the worshiping of the golden calf, death was reintroduced into the world, and the Almighty
said, I want you to come. And what was supposed to happen at that point before the golden calf was is that the Almighty's presence was supposed to be felt in the world, but we pushed it out of this world. But the Almighty said, I still want to have a relationship with you, build a sanctuary, but you can't come into the sanctuary if you've come in contact with a dead body. And there's a relationship between the color gold and the color red, and hence the idea of this cleanup, to be able to commune with God. So what's the deal? So it says, with the death of Miriam and Aaron and the eventual death of Moses being placed in this portion in conjunction with this purification process that we have in the world, we have righteous people. There's something called the Lamed Vavniks, the 36 hidden tzaddikim. Those are people we don't know about. But then there are many more people that we do know that they are a righteous person, like, for example, a Miriam, or an Aaron, or a Moses, or a Lubavitcher Rebbe. It says that in the book of Amos, that tzaddik be'emunasa yichya, the righteous live by their faith. That what is the life of a truly righteous person is not a life of physical, it's a life devoted to the spirit and bringing the spirit into this world. And this will be exemplified in the story that I have coming up, hopefully if we have time now at this point. The body is very limiting. And a righteous person, when they're alive, is limited to 3D, with or without the colored glasses. When a tzaddik passes away, when a righteous person passes away, their presence is now felt in the world in a greater manner because it's not limited. And hence we have this idea, like, for example, there's going to be about 40,000 people that are going to visit the rabbi's grave on Tuesday. It's a whole system they have for getting people in and out of this small area because it's sort of like, you might say, it's been called like the portal to heaven because a righteous person is just not limited by the physical world once they pass away. We, unfortunately, are out of time for this segment. We got to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? www.rabbifinman.com. Right on the homepage, there's a contact us list. You don't have to go fiddling around. I really like that feature. That's right at the top because that's really what I'm all about. I'm not about me on my website. I'm about you. It's your portal. You coming to rabbifinman.com because you want something. You should be able to get it right away. So it's right there. Contact us. You contact us. We contact you. I contact everybody. And there's, thank God, there's days that I do spend hours just answering the email coming through rabbifinman.com. And it makes me feel really good. The days that I get nobody contacting me, that's the days that I start worrying, like, oh my, is my hair falling out? Do I have bad breath? I mean, you know, this is what, you know. So contact me, I'll contact you. You'll also have archived editions of the show. The Hasidic U story, the U Parsha, the E Parsha, which are various media of which I convey information in an entertaining way, and the all-important donations page. It's June. We need to pay the piper, and the piper is piping, and he's been very patient with us. Thank God we paid May in May, and we'd like to pay June in June. And we need your help. We have some sponsors, but for the most part, The Jewish Hour is listener-supported radio. So go to the computer, go to rabbifinman.com, hit the donations page. If you want to buy a raffle ticket, that's fine. 100, 180, 250, 500, 300, 1,000, or 1,800 will get you an ascending number of raffle tickets.
or any I can't do those, it's fine. You want to do an $18, we'll take it. Can't do internet, don't like doing internet, don't touch it, don't like trust it when it says HTTPS at the end. You don't think that secure is really secure? I understand. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And just to let you know, I acknowledge every donation. So you think if something might have gotten lost someplace, if you sent a donation and I didn't send a letter back, something happened, something went wrong, because I acknowledge every donation. Thank you very much. Frank Lautenberg, senator from New Jersey, passed away last week. The oldest member of the Senate, the last World War II veteran to serve in Congress, and a really nice guy, a Jewish guy. I met Frank Lautenberg in 1976. I was at some function for like a UJA, and he was there. I didn't realize he was a big wig because I was just this like 17-year-old little kid, and I was the biggest wig there after all. But you know, but I met the guy. He was a very, very sweet person to talk to. He was for a long time the president of the UJA, which has since become the United Jewish Appeal, which has now been transformed into the Federation of Jewish Charities in Detroit. They just call it the Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit is what it's called over here. But there's a United Federations, and there's something called just called the Federation. Sounds rather ominous now. You don't want to start with the Federation. There is a joke about two people who get shipwrecked on an island. It's a man and a wife, Sadie and Max, and they don't know how they're going to get off this island. And Max turns to Sadie and he says, "Did you pay your pledge to the Federation?" And she said, "No, I forgot." He said, "Good, they'll find us." So so he was the president, and his deal was, he was a policy, he was a mover and shaker. He went and had he actually at that time, I think it was 1979, it was before, in the early 70s, late 70s, he had an audience with the Rebbe, which lasted about a half an hour. And the conversation, it's online. I saw it on collive.com. And if I'm working on it such that I can post things to my website, like if I could say, and we've attached a link to our website. You hear that so often. I can't do that yet, but we're working on that to update rabbifinman.com. The conversation just seemed to just like flow. And it was just like, where's this going? Is reading this, it just sounded like two guys having a chat until the end. Okay, they went from like the importance of Jewish giving and the importance of Israel and the importance of, there's a whole thing there of the UJA at that time was helping settle people from South Vietnam in America and getting them jobs and Jewish education, getting young people involved. And it was just seemed like this flow thing going on, just happenstance. And then at the end, the Rebbe just kind of like dropped the hammer. Boom. And he turned to him and said, "Now let's talk about you, Mr. Lautenberg." And he gave him the right advice. He said, "Rebbe, should I run for Senate?" And he said, "Not yet." And he didn't run for Senate for, I think, another 15 years or so. He turned to him and said, "Do you put on tefillin?" He said, "I'm a reform." He said, "There's no such thing. It's a mitzvah to do. It'll make your life easier if you do it. If I give you a pair of tefillin, will you put them on?" And you could see, when looking at this whole thing, looking at the conversation, you could see, and reading it backwards, that the conversation from "Hello, Mr. Lautenberg" was to lead up to that point. The Rebbe, whose Yahrzeit will be commemorating on Tuesday, he cared about world Jewry, but he cared about Mr. Lautenberg, the individual. That's going to do it for the show today. Thank you so much for tuning in. It was a fast hour. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you again next week. Take care. Zedra Kinderlach, Gedenja Tayere, Avosirle.